Good to see you tonight. This warmer than yesterday, Wednesday. Isn't that good? Very glad to see 44 degrees today. Yes. Not normally glad to see that. Let's just pray again, just where we are here. Father, we are grateful to know you tonight. Grateful that even as we move into a new year and to a new time, that nothing here takes you by surprise, that you're the God who not only has known us from the beginning and knows all things, made all things, created all things, but you know the end from the beginning. And you, nothing that's coming up even today or even any time between now and the end of the year, none of that catches you by surprise. And not only that, the Holy Spirit who's within us, your Spirit, you who indwell us and live within us, you lead us and guide us into all the truth, and then you show us things that are to come. And you prepare us and get us ready for what is ahead. We thank you tonight for doing that. We're trusting in you that you're doing that, even when we're not conscious or aware that we're being prepared, that we're being shown. Father, I thank you that you are diligent to do that because you're a faithful God, and we're trusting in you to do that. Father, we turn our attention tonight toward your word, toward what you have for us. And I pray for all of us, Father, that we would have hearts that would be understanding. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts tonight, that we would see what we need to see, that we would know what we need to know, that we would hear from you, Father. It's not enough to come to church and sit in a room together. It's much more important that we hear from you. Thank you that you live in us. Thank you that you indwell us. Thank you that you've made your home within us, and that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, that we can depend on you for all things, even to teach us. We thank you for that tonight. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray for all the people of Good News Church. Some are here, many are not. Father, I pray for them that where they are right now in Jesus' name, that they'll be strengthened with your mighty power in their inner man, that strength will come into them. I speak strength to them in Jesus' name. That they'll be strong and rise up in strength in Jesus' name. That they'll be strong in their inner man. And that strength on the inside, it'll rise up within them and even strengthen their outer man. It'll strengthen them, those that might be depressed or feeling down or blue. In Jesus' name, be strengthened tonight. Those, Father, that are facing sickness or disease, I speak strength to them. Strength in Jesus' name. And we thank you tonight for it. Thank you that your Spirit, you indwell us by your Spirit, that you live in all of us, and even when we're not here, you can strengthen us by your Spirit. We thank you. Just as Paul prayed for people that he was nowhere near, he prayed that you would strengthen them with your mighty power. And we pray that tonight for people, the people, all the people that are part of Good News Church. We trust in you to do it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, a little different direction tonight than what we'd originally planned, but that's okay. Tonight we're going to talk about living healthy in 2014. How many of you want to live healthy this year? You know, we're in that time of the new year. We're on, what is it, January the 8th? I guess last Wednesday was New Year's Day, huh? Wow, it seems like so long ago. But it was just a week ago, huh? Well, I guess that's because I made a long road trip between then and now, so, but praise the Lord. But at the beginning of the year, oftentimes people make resolutions. Most people, of course, if you made them, have broken them by now, but that's okay. But, you know, there's really nothing wrong with making, you know, some coming out of the holidays and sort of looking at the new year and thinking about. In fact, it's probably a healthy thing in your life to think about if there's some changes needed, if you need to evaluate things and look at things in a different way or learn something or leave something behind in the old year and or start something new. What I found, though, is that a lot of resolutions people have to do with their physical body. They want to be healthier. They want to be fitter. They want to lose weight. They want to do all kinds of things, you know, even get more sleep or take better care of themselves. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, those are all good things probably. But oftentimes we set about making changes and we look to make change. And I'm not going to talk tonight. I could get really stuck right here at this point about how you make changes and where change really happens and comes from. But oftentimes we start, you know, the idea is that we're going to make changes by just sheer willpower. Any of y'all ever do that? Just sheer willpower. And we have a thing at our house. We call it the crackdown. Y'all ever have the crackdown? We have the crackdown at our house. And I don't know when that started, probably probably years ago when the kids were young and we were homeschooling them and they'd get way behind on their homeschooling. And so I'd come in one day and, you know, announce, we're having a crackdown. That means you're not going to do anything else till you get through this amount of work. And so that just translated over into a lot of other things. And so that's kind of a famous saying at our house, that we're going to have a crackdown. Sometimes when Matt comes through with a furrowed brow, everybody hides because they think he's going to try to bring in the crackdown. He used to bring in the chore crackdown, and that never went well. He'd get the book out, and he'd type up all these forms and, you know, lay them all out, try to work out this chore system, have a big family meeting, have the crackdown. Everybody, there'd be tears all around. It was just a mess. Everybody, oh, it was terrible. The big chore crackdown, that lasted like every bit of, you know, maybe 72 hours. And then we were back to the old way, you know, because it's hard to make changes, you know, it really is. And, you need to have some chore crackdowns. And so, I don't know, it just is. But one thing that we know from the Word of God is this, that change doesn't come just haphazardly, and change doesn't come just coincidentally. It doesn't come because the wind blew it in. Change starts with a particular thing. And Romans 12 tells us what it is. If you want change in any, and this will help you no matter what you're thinking about changing this year or any time in your life, if you want to change something, change starts somewhere. Romans chapter 12 tells us in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. Change always starts with changing your mind. Nothing out here ever changes your behavior. Nothing changes until you start changing what you think. And that word renewing, really, if you study that, I've studied that word a lot, it means to renovate. And you know a little bit about renovating. I think, Michelle, y'all were doing a little bit of painting at your house. Did you ever get the paint? Okay, so they did some painting at their house. That's a kind of a form of making new. And, you know, and anytime you're going to renovate something, that you're going to bring change to it. But you got to get a new way renovating. Make it new, renew, make new, get something new. You got to get a new way of thinking. And so whatever change you want to make, it starts here with your thinking. It's interesting in our lives how we like to skip over that step. We want to just get right to the transformation. But you got to start with the way you think. That's why often it helps if you get some new knowledge. New knowledge, like anybody that's wanting to change, you know, physical features of your body perhaps. Something that's good is to get some knowledge. Don't just, you know, try to make change just by willpower. The more knowledge you get, because that knowledge will influence your thinking. It will change your mind. Whatever it is, if you want a change in your relationships, I tell you what you should do. Get some new information and let it influence your thinking. And that's what it says. Be not be conformed to this one, but be changed or transformed. Transformation happens as you renew your mind. Your mind has to change. And you can't skip that step as much as we try to. You can't skip it. But let's go back to the first part of that. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, the world has a way. The world has a way. And not only does the world have a way, but within the world's way, we all have our way. We all came from families, and we all have ways. You ever describe somebody and said, oh, he has funny ways? You ever thought that about somebody, or you met up with somebody, and go, or you met a family, and you thought, boy, they're just a little strange. And so, they have funny ways. They have strange ways. According to the way you were brought up or the way you think about things, they have a different way. And so it seems odd to you or funny to you. But everybody has a way. And most often, our ways have been very influenced by the ways of the world. And we are not to be conformed. That's a whole other message. We're not to be conformed or pressured into doing things the way the world does, but we are to be changed, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, we're going to talk tonight about living healthy in 2014, and I particularly want to talk tonight about sickness. I want to talk to you about sickness, and it seems like a good time. Different people I've heard today, since I got back, I've heard several people being sick. Maybe you've been fighting some symptoms yourself, or maybe it's your way to just succumb to the symptoms when they show up. Maybe you're a person who likes to invite symptoms. lot of people are like that. They like symptoms. They like sickness. And you don't want to get me started right there, but I feel like I'm getting started. But there's some people, sickness is their best friend. It's their excuse. It's their reason for not doing what they don't want to do. And so they're just all about it. Maybe you've worked with somebody like that before. You know, they miss work for what, you know, it's all you can do not to scoff. Laughing, you know, laugh when you hear, they call in and you're like, you're saying them for what? And, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe you're, that's something you're acclimated to. But everybody has a viewpoint. Everybody has a way of thinking about sickness. And we all here tonight, we all have a way that we think about sickness. We have ideas about sickness and disease. We have things, beliefs about it. All of us. We all have, and they're different. There's no two that are exactly alike. We all kind of have some ideas about it. But I'm going to tell you, the world, I can say this without a doubt, assumes that sickness is a part of life. That's just something you can expect. Maybe you're not sick today, but one thing is for sure, you're going to be sick. I remember there used to be a commercial, it's been a long time ago, that said, there's a headache out there waiting for you. Do you remember that? Like it's just lurking and you're just about to step over into it. You know, it's just like it's on your front porch. You're going to walk out the door and poof, it's on you. You know, and that's really kind of describes the world there. There is sickness out there waiting for you. You just, and because we have so much more opportunity to hear what the world thinks because we have the media and we can just really, you know, get it all the time. I mean, so much in the media about, so, I mean, I hear about diseases that I've never heard about before. I think they're making them up. You think about how much more knowledge we have today than we had 20 years ago about just about the variety sicknesses. And now people have WebMD, so they can compile their list of symptoms and then go on the internet and they can diagnose themselves. I think doctors hate that. I think they hate it. In fact, I know a doctor really well who told me how much he hates it. When everybody diagnoses themselves and then they come in, you know, they come into the office and they tell the doctor, you know, this is what it is and this is what you need to give me. Like, you know, almost like putting a quarter in the machine and get, you know, like, why do you need the doctor? But, you know, there is so much available, so much information. And see, here's what you have to watch out about. That information, remember what we just read? That you'll be changed by the renewing of your mind. The information that comes into your mind, into your thinking, as you filter that through, and if you don't watch out about it, that information, you think you're just getting information about something, you don't know, it will influence you and it will change you in a way you don't want to be changed. It'll make you more susceptible. It will fill your heart with fear. People are afraid of things, of getting sickness that they, you know, there's no reason for them to, I mean, they're not experiencing the symptoms of it, but they hear about it and they start dwelling on it or they think about it and before long they're starting to be afraid of it. But the world assumes that sickness is a part of life. How many of you have sick days on your jobs? The fact that your company has established sick days means that it is an accepted fact in that company that people are going to be sick, and not only are they going to be sick, we need to make provision for it. Sickness is a fact of life, and everybody's going to be sick. They're going to need these sick days. Isn't that? I mean, that's proof right there that the world assumes you're going to be sick. You know, I don't think Walgreens, I better not start this, CVS, Rite Aid, a whole lot of floor space in grocery stores and Walmart and Target and a whole bunch of other places, all of that is devoted to this thing we would call medicine. That wouldn't exist in those stores. A lot of those stores couldn't exist unless we just all assume that you're just about somebody's going to be sick and going to be walking in the door. Sickness is a fact of life, and people are going to need this medicine. They wouldn't be producing it and selling it, making it available and building stores to dispense it unless they just assumed that sickness is a fact of life. I mean, don't we just assume sickness is a fact of life? Don't you have to be sick? I mean, isn't that a crazy thought to think you might not have to be sick? I mean, if you say that to people, you don't have to be sick. But people are going to think, boy, you got funny thinking. Most people, just think about this tomorrow. Go around to all the people you meet tomorrow and just arbitrarily say to all of them, this, my dad used to do stuff like this. No wonder he was such a funny old weird man. But he would he would have some crazy thought, and he'd walk up to people and he'd poke them. He'd say, you ever thought about this? And he'd poke them and he'd say, what if you never, ever, ever had to get sick ever again? What do you think about that? And then he'd just kind of leave you standing there. Many times I've been the victim of that poke, you know. Just some crazy thought he'd have. And so that's a thought. What if you would never be sick another day in your life? What if your kids would never know sickness, or you never have disease or any infirmity in your body, any kind of thing like that? That's kind of a strange thought. For some of us in here, maybe we've thought thoughts like this. You know, we've embraced this way of thinking a little bit. But I'm telling you, to the world, the course of this world, people would look at you like, what did you drink on New Year's Eve? Because it's so accepted that you're going to be sick. Maybe not today, but someday. And not only that, we put a lot of effort and energy into, you know, just as a normal course in this world, into trying to avoid sickness. You know, there's a big thing on now that we don't need to use antibacterial soap because the bacteria we're making them resistant. And so, but now all that's being produced is antibacterial soaps, and now we've got this big problem going on. We're making bacteria more resistant to whatever it is they put in the antibacterial soap. So there's this big problem. So we're all supposed to be buying soap that doesn't have this in it, but it's very difficult to find. I mean, I heard this on television. I know. So I know. I mean, this has been a big quandary. I had to buy soap the other day, and I'm standing there going, where's the not antibacterial soap? I'm just looking. There's just, it's all, I'm like, well, what am I to do? Get what smells nice. So I'm just saying, we make so much provision for sickness and disease. You know, before your kids can go to school, you have to bring in a piece of paper that's signed by a serious authority saying that your children have received vaccines, or they're not going to let them in school. I'm just telling you, this world, we make provision for sickness and disease. We make a lot of assumptions about it. This is all part of the course of this world. And not only that, there's so many, think of all the things that you do on a regular basis to avoid sickness and disease. Am I saying it's wrong to do that? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that it's a big issue. And the thought is, there is a headache or something a whole lot worse out there waiting for you. You know? When Matt and I went to Japan, it's been about 10 years ago. And this is the first time I ever was in a place where I saw people in the general population walking the streets in malls, in restaurants, and in the airport wearing masks. And then I found out that's very common in Asia that they were wearing. Did they do that in Korea, Frank? They wear masks. We don't do that here. Like a surgeon would wear, or how your dentist wears a little mask whenever he's fiddling with you. And they wear those on the streets when they're ill, so they don't pass it along, or maybe when there's a flu season. But we just saw masses of people with those. That's a very strange sight. When you've never seen it before, you're going, what's going on here? What's in the air? What are y'all not breathing? You know, suddenly you're doing this. You know, because I didn't know what was going on. Think of the provision. There's a thought behind that, isn't there? Interesting. But the world has a way of thinking about sickness. And I'm going to tell you that all of us have been very influenced. Very influenced. And I'm going to tell you this. Unless you were raised by some people who were really founded on the word about sickness and disease, I can tell you there's a lot of stuff in your thinking you're going to have to renew, renovate, kick out, get rid of. You ever done a renovation, you had to pull up your carpet? And then, you know, or when you had to, you ever renovated and somebody just kept putting wallpaper on top of wallpaper on top of wallpaper? And so you get it down just to find out there's another layer that you get down, but you just find out there's another layer you got to get. I mean, come on, people. There's no sheetrock there. It's just 17 layers of wallpaper. And that's kind of how it is when it comes to renewing your mind. There's a lot of stuff there that needs to be stripped out. No reason to be embarrassed, because it's common to all of us. All of us have things that we have to make new and strip out, find a new way of thinking about it. But tonight we're just talking about this subject of sickness and disease, because if we want to live healthy, how many of you want to live healthy in your body? I'm talking about your body being healthy and being strong and not being, you know, how many of you want to be in the hospital a good 6 weeks this year? Does that sound like a good thing, you know? Later, how many of you want to go through chemotherapy this year? No volunteers? How many of you would like to avoid both of those things? Major surgery? Who wants to avoid that? That sounds good, doesn't it, to avoid those things. Well, those are kind of more serious things, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of other stuff you might want to avoid. Just general body aches and pains, that might be good to avoid. But the world assumes that sickness is a part of life. So the first thing I'm going to challenge you about tonight is this. Sickness is not necessarily part of life. It doesn't have to be part of your life. And it certainly doesn't have to be a major factor in your life. It certainly doesn't have to be a lord in your life. But many people, sickness is a lord in their life. But it doesn't have to be. In fact, Jesus made a way for us to come out from under that. Let's just talk for a moment about sickness. Let's just, you know, where did it come from? Does anybody know where sickness came from? Satan, the devil, sin. How did sickness get on people? You ever thought about it? Because it's such a normal part of life. Whatever started sickness? If you read, I mean, this is pretty much Abundant Life 101 here. here's the short version. When God created heaven and the earth, and then he created man, there was no mention that man was sick. There's no record there that they had to, you know. There was major surgery going on. There was major surgery, but that's what made woman. But right after that, that's the only surgery we see in the garden, and that was a really good surgery, didn't, you know. Could be debated, but anyway, we won't get stuck on that point. Well, we could go on that one for a while. But beyond that, there was no sickness or disease. We never see any of that show up. We don't see any part of death show up until sin. And we know, if you study the Word and you understand the whole process of redemption, you understand that sickness came as a result of sin. Now, does that mean if you get sick, it's because you've sinned? No. No. Sickness came on mankind because of the sin of mankind. It just opened the door. It came through death, because basically this is it. Sickness is death working. Sickness is the curse working. There's a curse that the whole world is in. We live in a world that's filled with the curse. That's been broken in those that call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus broke the curse for us, and we can get out from under that curse, but live in a world that's still under the curse, but be free of the curse. That's redemption, the reality of that in our lives. But that sickness came as a result of sin. And so here's just a really good way to understand why you don't have to be sick. It's just like this. Jesus came, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. What is the penalty for sin? Death. The wages of sin are death. So when he paid the penalty for our sin, he bought us out from under that curse of sin. He bought us out from under the curse of everything that came as a result of sin. And that, first on that list, Well, probably first on that list is eternal death. But the second thing, you know, in separation from God. But the second thing has got to be sickness. Sickness. And Jesus bought us out from under that. So we don't have to be sick. It's not mandatory. Do you understand? You don't have to be sick. Now, does that mean you're never going to be sick? Probably not. But you don't have to be. And when sickness comes, you don't have to accept it in your life. But see, if that's never been challenged in your thinking, then you accept it. And you don't accept it voluntarily. You just automatically accept it because that's, you don't know anything else other than just, you may do some things in the natural to fight it off. Some people don't even do anything in the natural. They're almost kind of like, call, phone me out, you know, it'll get me out of work for a week. You know, when I was in college, the girl that lived, my first year at ORU, the girl that lived in the room next to me was from Nebraska. Now, what is Nebraska famous for? What? Corn. Well, guess what she was allergic to? Corn. I always thought that was so funny. She had a terrible allergy to corn. I mean, like, I'd never met people that had really serious, deathly kind of allergies. I'd never been around that before. Really serious. And she was so allergic to corn, she couldn't have anything with corn syrup in it, which eliminates a whole lot of things. But do you know what? Every once in a while, do you know what she would do? She would eat popcorn. Isn't that crazy? She would eat popcorn and she would get so sick from it. But she just, I never understood exactly why, but she would get so sick from popcorn. But I noticed a pattern at one point. I'm just being honest with you. She would often do that before midterms. Y'all think I'm kidding you? She would do it at these really critical points. She had this really bad breakup with a guy. Here came the popcorn. It was just a really weird thing. I don't even know where I was going with that, but that's weird. That's really bad. There was something worse than the popcorn allergy going on with her. It's some really bad stuff. I don't even know why I started down that road. I could tell stories like that all day. People in sickness, it's their friend, man. But she, for whatever reason, she'd worked out this system. It would, you know, she'd get going with the popcorn. But she had this terrible popcorn allergy, or corn allergy. That's so weird. She's from Omaha, Nebraska. How odd. But people in their lives, all of us, we all have to come to the point as believers that we recognize that not only was the curse of sin broken, the curse of sickness was, and we have to choose to renew our mind and put up some resistance, natural resistance. See, she could have naturally resisted eating the popcorn, but she didn't. She just went for it. But we can resist it. You can resist sickness. Say, I can resist sickness and disease. Say this, I don't have to be sick.
I don't have to be sick.
Let's say that again. I don't have to be sick.
I don't have to be sick.
Now, I'm going to tell you, as you get older, this gets more important for several reasons. You know, like I'm thinking, you know, there's some kids, if they were in here, they'd be like, you know, sickness maybe isn't a big issue to them. But when you get kids, suddenly your world changes. And sickness becomes something else. Because you're just flying along, you know, yourself. And most people that are, you know, young, a lot of times people are healthy. And then, but you get a sick kid going, you want to find out about him because you don't want your baby sick. But then, you know, then as our bodies age, certain things happen and we seem more susceptible to sickness. Naturally speaking, we are more susceptible. And so then we have more to deal with. So you want to get, wherever you are today, you want to get fortified and put a stop on that sickness and disease. Stop, you know, go ahead and, Wesley, like Wesley's probably sitting there going, you know, it's not that big of an issue in my life. Wait, do you have a baby, Wesley? What? It's going to be really what? If he has a baby, Wesley, you're going to have a problem? Because he's a male? Because he's not married?
Right. All of the
above. Well, let's forget this message. We need to talk. Yeah, okay. One day when he has a baby Wesley, his wife. No, he'll be having it too. I've been there. It takes two of you to have it. We'll talk about that later, Eddie. I have some things to explain to him. All right. You know, I just want to point this out. Not only does the world so accept sickness, but the church accepts sickness. You know, many churches have like a sick list. You know, we want everybody to call in and tell if you're sick, and all the people you know that are sick, we're going to put them on a list. They call it a prayer list, but it's really a sick list. Because I don't really think they're praying. What are they praying? Because most of them don't believe that God's will is to heal anyway. I don't even know what they're doing with it. They're just compiling a list of people who are sick. I think this is what it's about. It just makes you feel better to put your name on that list. It's kind of like, they're thinking of me. Churches, this is big business in church. You have teams of people, hospital visitation teams, because we got to plan, because a lot of people are going to be sick. And we got to have a whole team of people designated to go to the hospital to visit all the sick people. I'm going to tell you some of the worst mad people. It was a whistle. Did it come from me? I don't have that sound, but you know, who knows? Nobody admit it. It's okay. But God knows who you are. Trying to blame it on me. But some of the maddest I've ever seen have ever had people get mad at me in the church is because I didn't make over their sickness the way they wanted me to make over it. People like you to pet their sickness. And yes, Frank. They like it. They demand it. And if you don't pet it, they will get mad. And especially they want people at church to pet. Especially they want the pastor. He needs to pet you need to pet my sickness. It's true. But if you need to have your sickness petted, you're going to need to find another church. Just letting you know. Because, you know, I understand that people get sick. We've all been sick at one point or another. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be sick. But if you want to be sick, I ain't petting it. You can tell that I was raised by parents that when we got sick, they used to hand us a stack of tapes and send us to our rooms. They were mean to me, Neil. They were mean. This is a bad story I'm about to tell y'all, but it'll be worth you coming tonight. But I want to tell it. I want to just give you an idea of what sickness. When I was pregnant with my first child, Maddie Sue, my mother was elated. She was the most excited woman on earth because she was going to have her first grandchild. So every morning she'd come down to my house about 7:30 in the morning, bang on my door, get me out of the house, and drag me down to the walking track. Because we're going to walk, because somehow or another she had in her mind we needed to walk if I was pregnant. It was the only thing that could get her to walk, I can tell you. So we'd go down and walk, and I had terrible morning sickness. You understand? Like where you throw up. Heaven, babies can make you throw up when you're pregnant. Avoid that. And so we'd be out on the track, and I'd feel it, and before we'd get around the first turn, and then next thing I know, I am standing on the side of the track just retching my guts out. And you know what my mama did? She just kept on walking. It gets worse, Michelle. It gets worse. Because she just keep walking. And I'd just be there retching. I'll just... And then I'd finally get up. I mean, there was no tissue. There was no wipe. There was none of that. She's way up ahead. And then when I guess she heard the sound stop, she turned around and I swear to you, she did this. Repeatedly, she did this to me. She'd turn around, she'd see me, she'd say, "Run, Susie, run! You can catch up!" That's what she did to me. Now you know why I can't bet your sickness. It just ain't in me. She did that to me. That just kind of sums it up right there. None of that was in my notes, but I was just inspired at that moment. I've been wanting to get that out for a while. Turn over to Isaiah 53. You know, any of y'all know anybody sick? Any of y'all had any opportunities in the last few weeks to get sick? You been to the doctor and he told you you were sick? Any of you sitting here tonight and you're really sick and barely made it? Any of you sitting here tonight thinking, "I'm probably not going into work tomorrow"? I feel it coming on. Are there any of you that aren't here tonight because you're so sick? Well, you couldn't raise your hand. Isaiah 53, in case you don't know it, is Isaiah. He was a seer. He was a prophet under the Old Covenant. Prophets under the Old Covenant that were seers. And he was quite a seer. And he saw the crucifixion. He saw what we would call the passion of Christ. He saw that whole thing play out before him. He saw it and he recorded it here in Isaiah 53. And he not only recorded what he saw, but he recorded the meaning that the Lord, you know, revealed to him. And so that's what he's seeing. He's seeing into the future and he records what he saw, and he says, "But he was wounded." He's speaking of Jesus. He didn't know it was Jesus. He couldn't write his name Jesus. He knew it was the Messiah. Speaking of him, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And then Peter, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, refers back to that, and he says, "For by whose stripes we were healed." What happened at Calvary not only covered sin, it also covered sickness. Jesus was punished. He actually took stripes. He was punished. He was bruised. He was broken. He bled so you would be free from sickness and disease. And I've heard people talk about this, and I've heard them say that word "healed" there means you'll be spiritually healed. But if you study that word, if you get any kind of, you know, Hebrew, Greek dictionaries, but this word's in Hebrew, you do any kind of study on it, that word is plainly, it means physical healing. It's the same kind of word that they would use when they talk about somebody going to a doctor or a physician to get a cure. I don't know what kind of cures they had back then, but that's what it would be. It'd be like you going to a doctor to get a cure. In him actually being able to cure you, being healed. And part of it means being healed and made whole, and it even means and being healthy. By his stripes we are made healthy. So it's not just healed after you get sick. It just covers wholeness for your body. It's talking about your physical body being made whole and being healthy. That's yours. Just like you get to go to heaven when you die, being healthy in your body is yours. How many of you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? You have an assurance of that. Well, healing and health and wholeness belongs to you just as much. Okay, who tonight thinks, "Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give in and go to hell"? Any of y'all like, I'm it's tempting. I'm thinking about going there. No, that's silly. But yet, the same price that was paid so you wouldn't have to go to hell was paid so you wouldn't have to be sick, but yet we give in to sickness. We don't have the same kind of resistance against sickness that we do against hell, do we? we need to build up our resistance. Our idea, and it starts tonight. And the reason I'm talking the way I am here is the whole thing starts in your thinking. It's how we think about sickness. And tonight I'm just trying to get you to see you don't have to be sick. And the world is convinced that sickness is for everybody. And you have to change that thinking. Because you may, you know, the likelihood is that you were raised somewhere where sickness was just an accepted fact. Most of us were. And then, you know, you get into it and you go with it. That's just the way it is. Everybody around you, that it's just how it is. Sickness is a fact of life. But it's not, and it doesn't have to be. There was a day that hell was a fact of life for every person. But Jesus changed that. And Jesus changed this too. Now, if you study the scripture, you can start in the Old Testament and you can study about sickness in God's people. And you'll find as you study through that God always made provision for healing for his people. And even in Egypt, when God's people were in slavery in Egypt, one of the reasons the Egyptians had them enslaved to the point they did is because they were so healthy and strong. They were afraid of them, that if they gave them freedom, they were afraid they would take over because they physically were a lot stronger, healthier than the Egyptians were. Their women could have kids a lot easier than the Egyptian women. So they would multiply, and then their children would be healthier. God's people. When people serve God, it should be when people get associated with God, and they get to, you know him, and in their case, they become friends of God, and they become servants of God. In our case, we become children of God and have intimate fellowship with him. But through association with God himself, there's always his goodness manifests even in our physical bodies and brings healing and health and wholeness. He has made a way of escape. Isn't it Psalm 107 that says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction? Psalm 107 verse 20. That word healed, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That word healed is the same word that we talked about just a moment ago from Isaiah 53. It means physical healing, a cure. That's what it means. It means a cure, just like you would receive if a doctor gave you a medicine or performed a procedure on you and cured you. It's that same word. It talks about it's physical healing. He sent his word and healed them physically, not just some spiritual healing, which, by the way, we weren't spiritually healed. We were spiritually reborn, not healed. But our bodies were not reborn. That's why we need healing for the bodies. But spiritually, we don't need healing. Spiritually, we need to be reborn. But he sent his word, and he healed them. There's a lot of places we could go here in these last couple of minutes. But I want to encourage you. Brother Hagin used to say this. For years, I sat under Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin's ministry, and he would say, you need to feed your faith. You need to feed yourself. You know, the scripture is spiritual food for us. He said, you need to feed daily on healing scriptures. You need to just feed on that all the time. In other words, whatever your devotional life looks like, whatever you're doing to meditate on the word, I hope you're doing something. Whatever you need to include something, an ongoing study, an ongoing confession of your faith, profession, thanking God for healing in your life. You need to do that every day. Because sickness will come. Because we live in a world where just like temptation to sin comes. You don't ever get beyond the point where temptation to sin doesn't come. You get better at resisting it. But it will still come because we live in this world. Well, sickness will come and will tempt you to be sick. And you need to have resistance for it. And the word is your resistance. And you need to build yourself up. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's easy to let this slip. It's easy to sit here and say, well, I know about healing. I mean, look, I've been healed. Let me tell you all the things I've been healed from. And I could teach on healing better than you're doing tonight. You could be sitting there thinking that, and that's good, but I'm reprimanding all of us. No, I'm encouraging and exhorting all of us here tonight to take a moment and refocus yourself on healing. Because the enemy comes in, he's sneaky and he's deceptive. And he'll just kind of blind, he'll just sneak up from behind you when you're not looking and try to put something on you. And your resistance can get down, just like your physical resistance. You know, we have our bodies have natural immune systems and they can get weak. Spiritually, you can get weak in an area. And it's just a really good area to keep fortified in your life. How do you do that? Well, you find what God says about healing and health. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of scriptures that have to do with this. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you've never really built a base in your life. And I'm sure there's people here like that. You need to build a base in your life. You need to get your heart established. The Bible talks about establishing your heart. You need to get your heart established in healing. It wouldn't be a bad thing for all of us to say, we're just going to take a little time here at the beginning of the year and just reestablish ourselves. All of us get established in healing. How do you do that? Well, you find some scriptures. It's good just to go through, read the Gospels and read every miracle of Jesus. See what he said? Just meditate on Isaiah 53. I can recommend a really good free book to you to read. It's excellent. There are many things that you can do. That's the short, you know, there's no shortage on that part, but you have to have the thinking. That's what we're dealing with tonight is your mind. You have to think, this is something I need to pay a little attention to. I need to fortify myself. And you're thinking, well, look, I don't have time to do that. I need to pay my bills. I need to get a job. I got something going on with the kids or home or my family or my wife or husband, or I got all this other stuff and you're talking to me about this. Yeah, especially if you have all that going on. Because the enemy, he's a deceiver, and he's subtle, and he will sneak in the middle of you being all concerned about something else. And I'll just tell you a quick story when we're close. A little over a year ago, a man I know used to come to our church for a number of years, but just quit coming. Still loved us, still considered himself a member of the church, but just quit hearing. Every time I'd see him, he's so glad to see me, loves me, going to be back over there pretty soon. But just got busy doing other things. I'm just really busy right now. But when I slow down, when things slow down, I'm going to get right back over there. And I'm like, look, just keep hearing the word. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. He's busy. Y'all ever been busy? He was super busy, so busy. But he had this thing going on right here and some pain here. And so he goes into the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, what's going on? He says, I don't know, I've got some pain here, you know, just give me something, fix it. I'm really busy, got to go. And he goes through the exam and everything. And at the end of the exam, the doctor says, okay, look, this is what's going to happen here, is you're going to go to the hospital right now. And he said, what do you mean I'm going to go to the hospital? And then the doctor said, you're going to go to the doctor and you're going to have this test, because if you have what I think you have, they're going to put you in the hospital. And you're going to be there for a good while. And he said, well, no, wait a minute. I can't do any of that. I'm really busy. I got this to do. I got this other thing. I got to go. He's like heading out the door. And the doctor pulled him back and said, no, sir, you don't understand. You're going right now to the hospital. Well, he went to the hospital. He was in the hospital for weeks and went through one thing and another. You know all that stuff he was really busy with? He never did do it. He died. But he was really busy. He really had all this stuff he had to go get done right now. And none of that stuff got done because he died. So I'm not trying to put that on anybody, but I'm just telling you, the devil's mean. And one of the things that he uses to take people out is sickness. He's out killing, stealing, and destroying. And sickness will kill you. It will steal from you and it will destroy you. But he sent his word. He sent his word. Thank God he sent his word. He sent His Word. We have His Word. I have His Word, and He sent His Word to me, and I have His Word, and He's healed me. And I don't have to go to the doctor and go to the hospital and die. Because He sent His Word. But I got to take His Word that He sent to me. And I got to let it renew my mind. And I got to act on it. I got to believe it. And I got to receive it. And I got to stand on it. But He took care of it. He sent His Word. And He healed me. And He delivered me. But the same way that I received my deliverance from eternal damnation is the same way I received this. And I got to change my mind and change what I believe. And I got to act on what I believe. All right, stand up.